Hello guys, and welcome back to another episode of The Build-Up, a special Ramadan edition. I know we've been a bit of a hiatus, but guess what? United won, and so we're back. And yeah, I have my beautiful co-host alongside me, Hassan.
That's very nice of you, but coming from a beautiful Brummy himself.
Hey, listen, man, there's a reason this accent was voted the best in the world.
Was it really?
No. It was a poll conducted by me. And I was the only one who...
You and the Bellinghams.
me and the... Come on, man. The best player in the world is from Birmingham as well, man. Come on, man. The old love accent, how we speak like this.
He's learning Spanish, and you're...
Hey, man. Hey, I don't know a bit of Spanish. Hablo español, man.
¿Cómo estás?
Está bien, ¿y tú? Come on, bro. What's my link with it? Don't test me.
All right. We know you did it for GCSEs.
Yeah, man. I lived there for a year. But that's where the similarity between me and the Bellinghams end. You know, that's the similarity. That's where the similarities end. No more similarities after that. Actually, we're both Birmingham superstars, but that's about it. We're back. And we're back talking about this beautiful club. There's never a boring day when it comes to Manchester United. Never a boring day.
I wouldn't say beautiful. I'd just say exciting.
Exciting is the word.
Interesting.
Interesting is... I love that adjective. I love it. But yeah, interesting. So let's just go right into it. A lot has happened since we've been away. Ratcliffe interview. Us losing a lot of games. Us winning a few games. Drawing a few games. An announcement of a new stadium. But yeah, I say we start off with... the Ratcliffe interview. You know, we haven't really seen, after hearing radio silence from the Glazers the last, like, what, 2 decades, it's been a nice change to
see. Very refreshing
to have, you know, the guy who's in charge of the football side of the club come in and talk directly to the fans via Gary Neville, who a lot of fans don't like because he is involved with the reconstruction project. But he did hold Ratcliffe to account, in my opinion. Although I have to admit, I haven't seen all of it. Hassan, what's your thoughts and opinions on that interview?
I think just of what you're saying, really. All the questions that they asked him is what we wanted to know. He fired back at him every time. You could see, I think if you watch the actual interview, watch the actual video, you can see Ratcliffe actually struggling to answer some questions because Gary Neville fires back at him. He wants him to explain why he cut the costs, and then... It was about the Man United Foundation,
when of
the 40 grand they cut.
Oh my god.
To past players. He was like, why couldn't you just set up an event, get, you know, Maguire and Bruno in a room? I don't know if you've seen that clip, have you?
I've seen that clip, and
yeah,
it says two things that, actually, it says a lot of things, but for me, what stuck out the most was that Ratcliffe does not have...
Rashford, man.
Hey, man. My boy got called up to the England squad, man. I'm too gassed.
But how much did you cry when you went?
Oh, bro. Side note for everyone, yeah. That was the greatest thought that day. It was a celebratory meal I had. For my boy Rashford, went to an African restaurant, got a chapli kebab, had a lamb kebab in my life. You know,
so, calm down. There's 2 hours left.
2 hours, man. Oh, true. But listen, side note: the day before at work, I was saying we should do a piece on Marcus Rashford potentially getting called up for England because I see it happening. Guess what? I did a piece on Rashford coming to England. Guess what happened the next day? Next morning, Rashford got announced to England. This is why I wanted Thomas Tuchel at Manchester United. But side note: we'll talk about that later. But yeah, my opinion is that it just shows that Ratcliffe does not have the right people in the room, because how can Gary Neville think of a creative solution like that literally like half a second? And he has apparently the best in the business supporting him, and they can't even think of a normal, decent solution to not take money and food out of people's dinner tables, out of people's mouths. Like the fact that they're cutting the steward bonuses, no more free lunches anymore, I think it's a disgrace. I think it's absolutely disgusting as a club. Cutting people's jobs, I get it. United are bloated. United have hired too many people and you have to cut jobs, which I understand. But judging from what's come out, There's
I
a
think you
way
said
about
this.
doing
I think you said this earlier. Man United is a family club. It's a community club. Whatever we do, we're not City. You know, we don't buy into becoming a commercial club. I feel like it's the same you get with Barca and Real Madrid. Have you been in Barcelona?
I'll be Barcelona Football Stadium. It
Yeah,
is a great stadium.
you see how, like, I don't know if you stay there longer and you go around the city. The club is sort of tied to the community as well as it is to, you know, the commercial aspects. I feel like obviously recent years they've sold their soul to the devil because they've got no money left. But that's because of the mismanagement. Similar stuff's happening at United. But obviously, at least we didn't get that bad. We didn't have to sell out Old Trafford
Well,
to.
bro, we're selling off sections of the stands, section of the naming rights. We're gonna sell off everything soon. Oh my god, if it carried on the way it was
Imagine it
under
became
Ratcliffe.
the Team Viewer Stadium.
Oh my, the T-Mobile Stadium, the I don't even know the PIA Stadium, but it would have been that bad. The PIA would have got the naming rights for the stadium. Oh my god. But this is what I'm
Yeah,
saying
I think,
about.
yeah, when you look at Madrid and you just look, they're obviously a great club. When you look at City, you see it's more of, City used to be a community club before when they were at Main Road. You know, the people followed them from League Two, but I feel like when you become more of a commercial club, your brand becomes commercial. You lose the sense of tie you had to the community. Like United currently doesn't feel like United. There's just so much to fix. Maybe when the stadium gets built and the regeneration project gets built, maybe when they've figured out how much stuff to keep, how much to not keep, then we could build that sort of love in the community again and in the sort of club. Obviously there's not just football players that are employees at our club. There's so many different departments and we just need it, you know, like a cog working together. I think once success comes, then it'll all come into place, but how long we don't know. Just watching that game against Sociedad, you'd think success is coming, but we can't just think of ourselves as we're back in that one game. What do you think of that game against Sociedad?
I think we physically just dominated them. I thought maybe after the first goal we'd crumble. And side note, apologies if you can hear my belly rumbling. I am fasting, so I don't care if you hear it. My belly's going to rumble. I think we dominated over the pitch. I think it was Xerxes growing into a left 10 role. I think it's clear that's where his future is at the club, if there is a future for him at the club, because as a striker, he doesn't have a goal scoring instinct. I'm sorry, but he just doesn't have it. Like he does everything well, but when it comes to his ball striking, it's non-existent. It really is non-existent. But I think mentally he's done well to come back from that penalty miss against Fulham in the FA Cup. I think he's done really well since then. I think Casemiro came in, did really well. Amrin came out and he said that I need to limit the amount of space that Casemiro has, that he has to cover. It helps him, you know, helps him better in possession, which is true. We saw he was like Bruno was making them ghost runs from centre midfield, past their back line, and he spotted him two, three times with some inch perfect passes. Yeah, I think he did really well. I love Patrick Dorgu. Oh, that is a man. That is a man. That is a grown man playing left wing back. A grown man. But we have to say, in the final third, he is not it yet. He's only 20, that's why. Or 21? 20, 21? I think it's 2021. Like, he's not it yet. And hey, Patrick, just a word of advice. If you get a penalty, don't go over to the referee and say it's not a penalty. We're not here to win fair play, top 10 fair play respect moments on YouTube. We're here to win trophies and win games. You die for that penalty, you get it, bro. Okay? None of that. And yeah, I think it was a great performance, but my only thing was that I don't know. I think whether we can win the Europa League, I don't know, but it was a great performance. We're seeing a lot more patterns of play. You know, maybe that time in the training pitch that Amrin was talking about is finally coming off. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the biggest difference against Sociedad was Casemiro. If you don't have Casemiro in that game, you don't get the directness, and United plays much more direct. You know, if you've seen my ex, do we call it ex now? What do you call it here? I still feel wrong calling
Sorry?
it ex.
Whoa, I thought you meant your ex. I was like, whoa, what are
No,
we
no,
talking
no,
about?
no,
And that husband, what are we talking about? Pure Ramadan. What are we talking about?
Stay on PG. Stay on PG 12. Are we PG 12?
We are wherever we are. We are family friendly. Okay. If you go on Twitter.
Yeah, you'd think I have something against Amarim, but I don't. You know, I just have against.
I was going to say, if you look at your tweets, my friend, it's not a lot of pro-Amarim going on. It's a lot of, dare I say, anti-Amarim.
Okay, so I just think...
Explain yourself, good sir.
Explain myself.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the build-up structure is just not changing and it's not helping. If you have three centre-backs and you're keeping Onana out of the game, which Onana, what is he known for? His passing. You know, we've seen him pass. I remember that Champions League final against City. He was...
Oh my God, his distribution that game was insane.
And if you take Onana out of the equation, you lose one player and you have three at the back and you have the middle centre-back which blocks Onana's path, and then you just invite your two pivot midfielders deeper and you literally... You lose a player that could potentially occupy the other team's defence, and your players just become more invited to the ball. That's what we're doing with the build-up structure as well. We're keeping three at the back, but our other players are not occupying the back line, and they're just coming deeper to build up. We've seen in the some of the Premier League games where we build up and we just try ball in the channels, but it just doesn't work because the teams are much more physical and they just invite that pressure. We're just not good enough to play out, and we don't have the athletes to do it. I just feel like, and you said Dogu, you like Dogu, but you don't think he's a winger.
He's just not, is he?
That's something that I fear. You know, you just saw Quenda go to Chelsea in the last few days, and I think it was an opinion by Fabrizio that he wanted to go there because he didn't want to play wing back for the rest of his life. Or as a 10, and if you just kind of think about it, how many wingers in the world would come to United to play either wing back or as a 10?
I only know one kid, Amad Diallo, the best wing in the Prem. I only know one kid who would do that.
Yeah. So should Amarim change that dynamic? I just don't like when he says, I only have one way and this is my way.
My issue with Amarim is that he's too dogmatic. I get it that you want to play one system and you don't want to go away from it, as that was the reason why previous managers failed, apparently.
You can play three at the back. Inzaghi plays three at the back. You know, there's a lot of managers that do, but the way you play it as well, you can't disregard wingers at United. United's DNA, you know.
Because the fans will turn on him. The fans will turn if they don't see exciting wing play. I'm sorry to say, but that's just how it is. When you're steeped in tradition, is that exciting wing play, you know, taking players one-on-one, and now I'm seeing wing-backs, full-backs in the final third. Like, seeing Amad right wing-back was calm with me, was calm with the players because in possession, is it kind of turn to a 4-4-2?
Yeah, and he can do it. If you keep signing wing-backs that and play them as wingers, do we have a problem? And if you sign wingers and play them as 10s, they probably don't like playing there as much in them zones. They probably wouldn't get wider. It's interesting, but you know, it's something you have to wait and see. I don't think it's a good dynamic at all.
Hey man, it's true, but we're seeing improvements on it. And now yes, tomorrow we got our game against Leicester, against our ex-manager Ruud van Nistelrooy. How do you see that game going, Hassan?
See us winning. Leicester has a horrible run of form.
Days, bro. That man, just put the relegation in the bag, bro. Just go.
They're the worst team, I think. I think Ipswich are better. You know, Ipswich have been unlucky as well.
Mm-hmm.
Currently watching City versus Brighton and it's 2-2. Oh, that's interesting.
Nice live update from you from Hassan.
Nice live. They probably end up going and winning 4-2.
Oh my god. Come on, Brighton. I want City out of the Champions League. I want Pep to scratch his nose again. I'm not promoting that at all. But yeah, it's just funny to see. I think we're battering Leicester. I think it's so funny the fact that they hired Ruud van Nistelrooy because we beat him twice in like 2 weeks when he was at United as an interim gaffer. even as an interim gaffer for United, it was still like more of the same as Ten Hag. Like, because he did so many shots, he was just like more confident because Ten Hag now was going, a new manager bounce. Yeah, it's quite funny to see.
I'm surprised he's not, I'm surprised they've not sacked him yet.
He's come out in the press after every game talking about how he wasn't backed in January. And to be fair, he was not back in January. They did not back him very well. So he's kind of got like his excuse slash reasoning in already. So it's kind of interesting to see how he's played. He's played this very well, I think. But yeah, they just can't sack him because I don't think they can afford to sack him, to be fair. I think he's going to leave after, as soon as they go back down. Yeah, I think we're batching them 3-0, I think.
Did we get your... Before getting to the game, did we get your views on the stadium?
That stadium, I think on the inside, it looks insane. And as you said, it's going to be probably the best stadium in the Premier League. Better than Tottenham's, maybe. The Wembley of the North. But my only issue is that A, it looks like a clown circus on the outside. Even on the inside, it looks amazing. And B, where's the money going to come for this stadium? It's,
You know, Ratcliffe's got HSBC, Nationwide, NatWest, Barclays.
You sound like a fraud boy right now, bro. HSBC, Monzo, Lloyds. What are we talking about? We're talking about effort. We're talking about funding, bro. Like, where's the money coming from?
So the regeneration project, that's going to be backed by the government, but not the stadium itself. So that will help the community. That, like I say, where we've kind of taken that community feel out of United. That will come back with that project. I just wonder how many jobs it creates. He did say it's going to create jobs and houses, so it'd be nice to see. If you go to South Manchester, it is a tip. You know, there's so much potential that if you put money in there, it will become good. And regarding the stadium, you won't care when 100,000 fans, you know, imagine United versus Liverpool, and that sort of. Yeah, that, you know, the net that they did over the stadium, the designer or someone said that it would keep the noise inside the ground.
Oh, so, be a cauldron.
People don't realise that stadium, 15% hospitality, yeah, but I think Wembley is more.
But how much
hospitality seats? Will those 100,000 fans in the stadium.
Hassan, yeah. How much will those tickets cost? Will they be pricing at local fans?
Building a new stadium, you probably do have to charge a bit more. They need to make that money back. They're going to borrow, is it 2 billion? And look at the interest rates.
Brother, he's an older man as well. Will he still be alive by then? Inshallah, he will be. But come on, man, what are we doing? Ratcliffe's like 75. What are we doing?
He's happy, man.
He cycles, he runs. I get it, man. And hey, man, his comments about Nice, it doesn't, like, I'm not sure if you guys have seen it, if you're listening, but he's made some disparaging comments about Nice, saying, I didn't enjoy watching Nice play.
Yeah,
it wasn't exciting. The players are not good. I wanted to come to United. And it's a bit funny because if Nice were to play United right now, I'm not sure who would win that game. I am not sure who would win that game, Mr. Ratcliffe. And part of that is down to you because. Yeah, I don't know, like, you're saying all this but about money and how we're broke, but for example,
it's like exciting to have a new stadium.
Exciting to have a new stadium. Imagine, but Hassan, let me ask you this. How much did it cost to sack Ten Hag?
15 million, was it?
How much did it cost to bring in Ashworth early?
It was like 4 million.
How much was it to sack Ashworth early?
I don't know, was it like 10?
It was about like it cost you between 20 to 30 million just on sacking people. Sacking people cost you 20 to 30 million. You've already got it for 50 million. That's a waste of funds. Like what are we doing here? Like, what are we doing? Like, you're taking away 40 grand, which is like a penny, but you spent 25, 30 million on two horrible decisions. They've got everything wrong since they come into the club.
Everything.
Not everything. I'm just hoping. The only thing I'm hoping for,
they've got the youth recruitment right. That's one.
The youth recruitment right. You know, heaven, seven heaven, man.
Player.
He is a player. I completely forgot about him.
Honestly, I went to the Arsenal game and I watched him. Obviously,
he's a monster. He's 19, bro. Look at him.
The side that I was like watching from there were
it's different. We bro, were bro yeah, for translation for you guys, he means like, how big is he, bro? Like, the guy is a big man now. He's grown man. Tank.
And he's so agile. I feel like he could play midfield as well.
The only thing, I don't know, man.
I need Amarim. I need Amarim, yeah. Listen.
Amarim, if you're listening.
Amarim's not going to listen to me. We would left centre back, add him to part of the pivot, and add Onana as a plus one to the two centre backs in build up. Just push us higher. Just don't invite pressure on us and just make us more direct.
I don't think Heaven's good enough on the ball to do that, in my opinion. He looks a bit nervous and shaky when he's on the ball. Let's be honest here. Let's not lie here.
He's 17. He is.
Is he 17?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He's 19. 17. Oh, my Lord. Heaven, you will be seeing it by the time you pass away, which will be like 100 years' time, because, my son, you are unbelievable. Unbelievable defender. Unbelievable. Amarin's finally using youth. Because there are times where, come on, man, we got a lot here, like five new players on the bench, never use them.
Yeah, I like how much time Collier gets as well. I feel like
Man, I respect the fact that he's now using them and going back on his word and going Obi, forward on his word.
Chido Obi as well.
Grown man. That's what we call a striker. Hoyland. See the way Obi, like, Obi missed the sit against Fulham, was it? But he's getting into positions. He's a grown man. Centre back's can't handle him. You guys like 6'4". He's massive, man.
Are you a Highlander? Are you a believer?
I am. Hey, man. When I was a kid, I was a believer. Justin Bieber was my guy. I couldn't say in front of the man because they cursed me. But guess what, bro? I'm a believer. Guilty pleasure. Hoyland. Bit of a guilty pleasure right there. I see it. You know why I see it? I mean, he scored six in a row. I saw something there. I saw agileness. I saw ball striking. I saw him being comfortable. I saw something in him. And I believe, but the thing is though, my only thing with him is that there's no him on Garnacho. It's like I don't even know, man. It's like water and oil. It don't mesh. It's like, I don't know, man. It's like dropping a Goro in the middle of Wimsor Road, fam. It just doesn't work, man. It just doesn't work. Like, that's not Garnacho. Your feed, bro.
Garnacho doesn't pass well when he does.
He played Garnacho on the right because he passes more on the right hand side. But then against Sociedad, his decision making was so bad. He did set up Bruno's goal. But
some of his he played well on the right. He played better than he did on the left.
He's better on the right than he is on the left, because on the left he thinks he's CR7 with the tape, with the dribbling, and you're not a ball.
He didn't try a lot of shots. You want Highland to shoot and you don't want Garnacho to shoot less. That's
what it is, but Garnacho's more of a shoot first winger. He's a shoot first, pass second.
I'd keep Haaland, I'd keep Xerxes, and I'd bring in Osimhen.
Osimhen, gonna come back from Turkey with renewed confidence, a new hairline. I'm here for you, man. I see him, I see it.
I need a tall, athletic midfielder.
But the only thing is, though, he's gonna want big wages. Will he come to United at 26 in the prime of his career after leaving? I don't know. Maybe Napoli would want him back. I don't know. I don't think they will, but.
United Trey's going to get him to United.
I'm not going to say anything about United Trey on this podcast. We're not going to give, even though it's very little promo, we're not going to give any bit of promo to that guy or any accounts like that on this podcast.
It's not promo.
It's not promo, but I'm going to mention man's names on this podcast because less said the better. But yeah, I think we've covered everything we needed to cover. We've gone around a lot. Hey, man, hey. Last side note.
Come.
This is why I wanted Tuchel in United. He gave my boy Rashford a chance. Imagine Rashford with only Tuchel, man.
It's just gone memories.
At least he's doing it for my country. And at least Rashford's balling out for Aston Villa. If Rashford wins the FA Cup and he scores, and we know he's the king of Paris. If he scores at Paris, he needs to start scoring goals, man. I'm loving the assist, but come on, dog. I need you to score a goal. I need a double, man. You need
to shoot more.
Bro, like, even though Emery's putting him on the touchline, he's still inverting sometimes. He's getting in those positions. I need him to shoot more, man. Just shoot more, my guy.
When you do, you can have the left back and the left winger rotating.
Exactly, man. Yes,
but, you know, Ian Maatsen.
He can overlap. You can overlap.
Yeah, it's just defending wise, they struggle when Mark's not
Yeah, it's
placed.
true. But enough about Villa. We need to wrap up. But before we wrap up, Hassan, what are you having for iftar, my friend?
Community of Thar today at the mosque, so
Lot of
hoping to have a
rice.
lot of options.
Lot of rice, lot of
And a
chicken. I
couple of
see
my
it.
options are going to be open.
Ooh, no NSG options. I hear it. Great song and great food. Love it.
Hey, it's Ramadan.
Fi Ramadan. Astaghfirullah, fi Ramadan. Fi Ramadan. For me, I went to gym, so I'm extra starving. You know, hitting a few PBs. You know, it's a Ramadan strength, bro. All that
Wow.
spirituality is taking over, it's giving me a lot of strength. Hitting a few PBs in the gym. I think I'm gonna have juza, bit of samosa, and a tea.
Can
I'm
you
covered.
translate choose out for everyone?
Chicken, bit of
Just
chicken,
chicken.
chicken curry, chicken curry, bit of samosa, vegetable samosa with me, and a bit of chai afterwards. You know me, with my tea, a cup of tea. Cup of chai, garlic chai, listen.
Post
Oh,
iftar tea,
listen,
because it's
yeah.
so cold as well. You just
Listen,
slap.
listen. When you pray Maghrib and you come back and your cup of tea waiting for you, find me a better site on planet Earth. You can't, bro. You can't. You pray to God, you come back and you have a cup of tea there waiting for you. Oh, and it hits. Oh, Gus, man, nothing better. Pritravi, man, nothing better than a cup of tea to do you nice. You get me? You get me? But on that note, we
Yeah,
gotta end it.
thanks.
Like, comment, subscribe. Any final
Give
final
our
thoughts, Hassan?
thanks.
Final thoughts, Hassan?
Final thoughts? Not really. I'm just excited to see United in the next few games. We've got
Those words have those
tough
words have
run
never been
coming up.
those words have never been said the last 2 years. But guess what? The feeling is coming back. It's coming back. But yeah, like, comment, subscribe. We'll come back to you after the international break, Hassan, I'd say.
Yeah, or we might be back earlier. We'll see.
Might be back during the international break to do a little, you know, pod on how the players are doing in between. You know, you never know. The international watch. But yeah, we'll be back soon. No more hiatuses. I know we said this a million times, but guess what? No more hiatuses. It's not happening again. We are back full time. So yeah, like, comment, subscribe, and we'll see you guys later. Peace.
Peace.